And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Time to get the podcast.
Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Oh, yeah. And we are doing the podcast from the Wrangler Rigs studio. Wrangler Rigs workwear, comfortable, tough, all day long. They have really cool shirts. If you ever need like a work shirt, Wrangler Rigs, check them out. They got pockets.
Yeah.
But inside the pocket are little tabs that will hold your pen. It's like, you remember how people used to do pin, like the pocket protectors with the pins? Well, these are like built in and it's fabric and it'll hold your pens or pencils.
It's for
or
people
whatever.
Who do like do real work. Not like you're not going to use
it.
Nah.
Yeah. If you got a Mark Wood or something, you always got it right there. I know it's crazy, but it's like
Mark Wood. Mark Wood sounds like somebody on my fantasy football team. And with the first pick, Mark Wood. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Mark Wood. That's actually something people do, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Whenever you're... Reno Collier is with us today on the podcast.
Hi, good to see you, man.
Hello, my friends. This is awesome down here.
You like our studio?
I love it.
It is a secret bunker. It's a broadcast bunker.
Yeah. Do you know the whole story of why we're here?
No.
We left corporate radio.
Right.
And took over all of our syndication rights, took over all of our intellectual property, images, you name it, content, and took over the business.
Very gutsy.
And took it from them and started it ourselves. That's the future.
Why not?
That's the future. Well, you know, it's getting rid of the middleman, basically. And that, to me, that's the future of any. Everyone says the same thing. Wow, that's really gutsy. Or, wow, but that's scary.
It was.
To me, it was because we didn't know. But once you get in it, you're kind of like, oh, wow, this is a lot less scary than working for someone that you don't really know.
Showing
you
up every day thinking you're going to get laid off.
You don't know what the future is. That, to me, is way scarier.
Not only that, you're also, whenever you're working for somebody, you're working for somebody else's goals. And they don't always mesh with yours. And you end up doing a lot of extra work that just slows your dreams down.
Yeah, that's right. Because what's going to happen is the guy at the top, he has his plan.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
Everyone has their own. Okay, you want to know what's in it for you. Patrick wants to know what's in it for him. Me, Bubba, we want to know what's in it for. Okay, we're all on the same. Well, that guy who owns whatever company that you work for, he wants what's his.
Right.
And so he's planning that company with that mindset.
Sure.
His mindset.
Yeah.
And so when he punches out and he's got his golden parachute and the company tanks, he's fine.
What does he care?
What does he care?
Right.
He doesn't care. You're the one who's screwed. You're the one who's been sitting here working hard and, you know, trying to do the right thing for them when in reality they could give a flip.
Right. Well, plus radio is a really tough business anyway. I mean, people get fired and hired and pushed and shoved and get out. And I've been to cities and doing a show with one guy, and then the 3 weeks later, I'm in Kansas City, and this guy's there again.
Same guy.
I'm like, what are you on the road? How do you do this? And he's like, no, hell, I got kicked out of here, and then I moved over here, and then they got to go here. And not only that, when you have to listen to somebody be like, and you guys don't, you have a real show, but a lot of these guys, it's like, play Taylor Swift is going to play like 9 times in a rotation in the morning. And it's like, my personality doesn't match up with that. You know what I mean? Like morning or an evening or anybody. I did radio a little bit for Sirius, and we got to say whatever we wanted. And, you know, it's easy and you pop off and it doesn't matter if you slip up and say a bad word. You don't get fined $8,000 or whatever it is. You guys get fined.
$425,000.
That's always worth having a comedian interview.
A lot of money.
Hey, let's bring in the next guy from Zanies. What the? Okay, $850,000. Wow, that was great. Thanks, Dorfman. Yeah. Are you kidding me? But if you can't be creative and you have somebody shoving, you know, Clear Channel and these different places that own everything, they own the buildings. If they own a building and they have a concert coming up, they're going to shove whoever artist they have down your throat to make you to promote. They like control everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I stop and tell a story for a second? Because it's one of Dee's favorite stories, so he's going to end up telling it. But okay, you mentioned a friend of ours, Brian Dorfman, who owns the comedy club.
I love Brian Dorfman.
We love Brian, and he came. He doesn't always come in when the comedians come in because he's the owner of the club. But like when he had certain acts that were his friends, or if his, you know, if some things were going on, he'd come in the studio with the comedian. And one time when he came in, it was Charlie Murphy, Eddie Murphy's brother,
right,
and a couple other guys, Donnell Rawlins, Bill
I know,
Burr,
I know where
all
this
in
is going.
Studio. Great day. And Charlie's there, and Charlie must not do a lot of radio. And we were taping the interview.
He obviously does no radio.
Oh, yeah. We were taping the interview just in case. Five guys sitting around. Maybe somebody will slip up and say something he's not supposed to say. But Brian was sitting on the couch in the studio, had no idea we were taping. He thought we were completely live. And Charlie goes into this story.
Oh, my God.
And he just starts. He out of nowhere, it's like, well, you
wait,
know
wait.
What?
Do you want me to play the story?
Oh,
no, we don't time for that.
No, he goes in the story and he's like, I told this bleep she could kiss my bleep because I was going to bleep her man up if she didn't bleep. And he's just going off. And I'm
and
sitting
Brian's
next to
in
Brian.
The back on the sofa.
He's having a heart attack doing the math in his head of the number of fines we just – oh, my God. He's literally – I watched him on the sofa, and the first curse word, he kind of turned his head, and the second one, he literally did this. He kind of – oh, my God. He did like a thing like Kramer jumping through the door on Seinfeld. I'm like, oh, my God. these guys didn't flinch.
No,
these,
we never knew.
You know, and then he gets through, and D just goes – you don't do a lot of radio interviews, do you? Oh, God. It was so funny.
Yeah. Well,
he's got – Brian is, first of all, one of the funniest people I know. Like, snide, kind of like behind the scene. Like, he'll just whisper something to you, and he just kills me. And he's been around, he actually loves comedy. It's not just the business part of it. Mm-hmm. But he does – like, if he thinks something's going to go awry, he's a business dude. First and foremost, and I just would love to have seen. I'd love to see people do that and film it,
I wish you guys had a camera on him.
Set it up like you're just acting like, and somebody comes in and they just start going crazy, and you guys just if you freak out, you could just film him losing his freaking mind.
Yeah,
oh, that's hilarious. I've always wanted to do something where because I'm always trying to sell shows and TV stuff or get cast and stuff or whatever. I would love to just not care at all. And go in, you know, and they're like, so why do you feel you're right for this part? Shut up. Well, wait a minute. What are your thoughts about the character? It's stupid. This is so dumb, this whole thing. They send me out for stuff, like, for where they're like, hey, listen, you grew up in New York. I'm like, no, I didn't. And they're like, well, you know, you're going to change their minds. No, I'm not. The show's based out of New York. What do you say? Okay, you're a black middle-aged woman. Shut up. No, I'm not. I can't change their mind on, you know, you're playing a mom. No, I'm not. When I first moved out to LA, they were like, I got a commercial agent, right? And they were going, okay, look, you're going to go out for these commercials. We're going to send you these different scripts and stuff. And you're like, so the first thing I get, I'm supposed to play a cucumber in a Ralph's grocery store thing.
Like a dressed up as a cucumber?
Yeah, like dress up like a like you
green
see people
face and everything.
I didn't get that far. Okay.
You didn't get to makeup?
No, I didn't make it to the whole thing. So they're like, just stand there and let me see you go like this with your hands and see. And I'm like,
act like a cucumber.
I go, this is, and I call him. And I go, dude, don't do this again. I'm not doing. And my line was something like, I'm fresh. It was so bad, right? So then, like 2 weeks go by, he doesn't send me anything to audition for, and he sent me a thing, and so he goes, I have some more sides for you. He sends them to me, tomato. I go, dude, I told you, I'm not playing produce. You can't, I'm not a tomato, I'm not a cucumber, you got to find something that fits me, you know, and he's like, okay, I'm just trying to find you work, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm working my butt off for you. Like, okay.
Working my butt off for you.
Same
next
commercial.
You're going to be an apple.
Yeah, no, dude, he sends me a thing, box of spuds.
Oh.
A box. And I go, are you out of your mind? Didn't I tell you? He goes, it's not produce. It's in a different aisle. I go, I'm going to stab you in the face with a pencil the next time I see you. It's not. It's
Was
still
he
a
serious?
Potato. Dead serious. Like, they don't pay attention. They don't care. They're just like, throw as much crap against the wall and maybe you'll get something they can suck off of. I was like, I'm never doing commercials. I'm out.
Wow. What a terrible life. That is awful.
And they make you, like, especially if you're chubby. They're like, you know, hey, you're going to be a guy diving off a diving board. Let me see you jump up and down. I'm like, you pervert. No, I'm not taking my shirt off and jumping up and down. Yeah, to see how funny you look fat. I'm like, you know what, dude? I'll whip you.
we've talked about it a lot. That, isn't it sad that Reno's considered fat in acting terms?
In Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just like whenever
overweight. All the stuff is over. But I'm 245.
But no, but I mean, I weigh 80 pounds more than you. I'm so fat. Like, the people who are hilariously fat on TV, and you go, I'm bigger than that guy, and I'm not the fattest person I know. I know a lot of people fatter than me.
Dude, everything I get is either it's like, looks all American, red all state. American. No, red state and overweight.
That's what it says in the
description. When they send me stuff to go up for, they're like, we want somebody who's red state, all American, and then casting stuff will always be, it's always like, all right, then fat guy walks. I mean, literally, before they have the characters named. The only time they don't do that is when I'm in the Larry the Cable Guy movie. Because then they're like, hey, don't write that.
Don't write.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, I guess we're kind of protected in our little world here.
That's the beautiful thing about radio.
And not having to compete against that kind of stuff.
Dude, that's why I live in Murfreesboro.
We went to...
I hate those people out there.
Yeah, but we went to the Warner Brothers lot one day with a friend of ours, and they were showing us things, and what's his name from The Hangar? The guy who played Alan... Oh, come on. Between the Ferns.
Oh,
Zach Galifianakis.
Yes. Zach is considered overweight in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Dude, he is tiny.
Yeah, he's
we
not.
We stood next to his clothing and stuff. Like, you know, they have like, here's what he wore in the election movie or whatever. He's tiny. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's fat?
I've told you before, when he was on Saturday Night Live, not like near the end of his life when things got out of control, but when he was on Saturday Night Live, considered to be the morbidly obese, fat, funny guy, Chris Farley weighed like 275 pounds.
I weigh 275 pounds. But I weigh what Chris Farley weighed.
Yeah.
Holy crud.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see that. But that's what people think. Like, first of all, they don't eat. Not. I think they're skinny because they won't shut up. They burn calories. Just. I'm on a diet. You know, and it's like, relax. I can't live out there. I can go out for like a week, and then I'm like, I gotta go home. I can't take the just banter and the freaking.
It's the fakeness.
Pretentious.
That gets
me. So it's fake.
It's so fake.
People say people in the South are fake. We're not fake. We just sometimes will say something behind your back, like, you know, women always had that, like, you know, oh, hi, darling. They walk away. It's like, I hate her ass. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not fake. Like, hey, I'm gonna give you a job.
Right.
You've got this done. And
congratulations.
Like, go buy a new house. Let's celebrate. Right. And then the next day it's like, oh, that didn't work out. Anyway, let's get you up for something else. We're not like that.
It's vicious.
Yeah. It's
totally
really
vicious.
Shoot, radio is vicious.
Radio is very vicious.
What?
There's always
no one
something
ever
going
lied
on about
to us and told us all kind of stuff. And then
no one would lie to us in their house.
In their kitchen.
Who was my friend.
Yeah.
Who I loved his family.
And
what?
Stare straight in our face and lie to us.
Within 24 hours, that never happened.
No,
and you know what that person would do, would tell you today, would go, What are you talking about?
I didn't lie to you.
I didn't. Yeah. Well, dude, remember the
you
email?
You continue to deny it.
There was an email. I sent this person an email who treated us that way. And I'm not kidding. 24 hours from this is the greatest thing ever. Oh, my gosh. We're going to we have major issues. And nothing had changed.
Right.
Obviously, because this guy had something else planned. So I sent him a thing. I said, dude, you know, I don't mind. You lied to me. Big whoop. I could care less. I understand. Business is business.
I hate to hear that. I said,
but you're done?
Ahead.
I thought you were taking your headphones.
No.
I said, Big D was your friend, and you treated him like crap, and you owe him an apology. I don't care, but he does. And I said, you should reach out to him. And this guy immediately, he immediately replied back with, what are you talking about? No.
Yeah.
Just completely whatever. It went all over his head. I said, you know, I'm like, you treated a friend terrible. He would have done anything for you, and then you're going to treat him like this.
I'm only guessing, but people who are not in a creative field and have no vested interest in how hard you guys work and what you put into it every day, and just think like, whatever. Blah, blah,
yep.
blah. That, and
anybody can go in and talk.
Yeah, but they don't understand that, like, to them, it's like a house. You know, so a lot of people treat you like you're a house. Like, hey.
A commodity.
Yeah, this house will work great. We'll live in it for a while. Hey, we bust up the walls a little bit. We'll ditch it. We lose our deposit. Who cares? We're out.
Yeah.
And they don't think, like, that's a person. That's, you know, all these people that act like that. I don't know how he got off. All these people that act like that, it's all coming back on them. It's like Kanye West.
It did, too.
First of all, I would have loved to have seen Kanye West come up and rip a trophy out of Toby Keith's hands. That you pick on Beck and Taylor Swift. You're a real badass. A 16-year-old songwriter and a guy who lives in his mom's basement. Are you out of your mind? Trace Atkins, why don't you go up and grab an award out of his hand and watch you pull it out of your ass 5 minutes later? And it's all coming back to roost.
There's a little astronaut. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, badass, your mother-in-law used to be a man.
Yeah.
He used to be on the cover of Wheaties, you freak. The whole group of them is disgusting, and that's the antithesis of these people in L.A., and they are, oh, well, I know everything, and look at us, and here's a selfie of my boot. I don't care about your stupid kid that you name East by Northwest, whatever the hell you name your kids, or whatever's wrong with you. Quit acting like you're this perfect, I'm moving. You know, that's what he said. I'm moving. Move!
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin was supposed to move 15 years ago.
Yeah, and you get a chance to see...
I'm sorry, I flipped up.
No, it's okay.
I kind of felt good. I think I passed some plaque through my heart.
All these people that are on all these people who are like, I'm going to move if this and that happens. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're not going
anywhere.
You're
not going anywhere. You are blessed to live in the greatest country on the planet. You don't see people running across the border to go to Nicaragua. We are going to escape the world to the U.S. and we're going to Nicaragua. We're going to Honduras to go Honduras, maybe.
Stuff. I'm going to Syria.
Yes.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen.
Yeah. But I wish they would go.
But you get a chance to see the real deal, what I call real deal guys, when you're overseas seeing our military.
Oh, yeah, man.
Those guys and girls, those are what, you know, we always complain about America. No, it's not what it used to be. And I'm scared for our country. But there's still a lot. And all four of us here are all cut from the kind of the same cloth.
Right.
And we are the same way. If we see something, I watched a video online yesterday of a guy who got, it was a video that was taken from a subway in Philadelphia, I think. And this woman gets on, this petite white girl, woman, and she has a 1-month-old baby,
right.
Little bitty baby. And this guy gets on after her and he's kind of like talking to her. And you're like, hey, you know. You can't hear what he's saying. And then the transcript says that witnesses said that he goes up to her. This woman sits down and he goes, hey, how's your baby? And she was like, it's fine. You know, she's scared to death.
Right. Right.
This guy's like, you know, 250 pounds,
right.
280 pounds. And he goes, let me take the blanket off his face. I want to see his face. She goes, no. He reaches down to move the blanket off her kid's the baby, she swats him. And then, of course, he's like, oh, okay. And he gets into this thing.
Right.
You know who, and I'm watching the other people on the car. There's three or four men. There's two other women. And the only one who helped her was this black woman who was a preacher.
Yeah.
And she stood up, put herself between him and the woman, put her back to this guy, and she starts praying.
Wow.
And telling him, because she said something was wrong with him, you know.
Right.
And I was thinking, anyway, the guy left and she was fine. Good, end of the story, fine. But I was thinking, dude, if that had happened to any of us here,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
we would have been up as soon as we saw that he was acting odd,
yeah,
and targeting her.
Absolutely.
Guys notice that stuff. Real
right.
Dudes, we have that thing in us. If we see someone in public at a grocery store and we see a man who is looking, lingering, odd.
Yeah.
Being we all notice that. We notice it. And don't we all do the same thing? We go over there and we insert ourselves into that
absolutely.
Situation.
Yeah.
And disarm it, defuse it, or break his nose.
Right.
To protect her, who we don't even know.
Right.
It's just the way we are.
Right.
But those guys out there and, you know, these, you know, Kanye West and these
out of sight, out of mind.
They're completely oblivious.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And all the hoop, you know, I'm not bashing anybody for going overseas and doing shows, but I found it very funny. Every time I would go to Iraq or I'd go to bases and they'd go, you know, other than you guys and Toby Keith and Charlie Daniels, we haven't seen anybody. But you pick up People Magazine, everybody's overseas doing shows. Everybody. They fly to Kuwait, get their picture taken, sing in front of a bunch of guys that are getting processed who haven't left yet. Kuwait is basically like going to Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, okay? It's in the Middle East or whatever. It's the richest country. I mean,
you're not doing anything. Right.
And we'd go to these different bases, and they'd say, they're like, I'm like, people don't come here? And they're like, hell no. Nobody goes to Bahrain. Nobody goes to these places.
Yeah.
But if you pick up a magazine, you'll see every single person. But I'm just going to, these are two of my favorite guys anyway, but Toby Keith and Charlie Daniels, every base we went to, we're like, oh, yeah, they come all the time. I got a really funny story. Can I tell you?
Yeah,
about,
yeah.
So I'm telling Toby this story about me going overseas and shooting this 50 cal, and I think it's a really cool story. And he's just kind of sitting there nodding, you know, and I go, what? And he goes, well, I got one. He goes, it was two weeks before I was supposed to go overseas, and my opening act fell out. So I was like, I got to find somebody. And he goes, who? And he goes, Nuge. I know Nugent will go. So he calls Ted Nugent. And he's like, Nuge, you want to go to Iraq? He's like, yeah, tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to go whenever you want. He's like, it's in 2 weeks. He's like, we're going to fly out in 2 weeks, and you're just going to open the shows for me and everything. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm there. They get on the USO flies them on a private plane. They go to Italy to stop to go through customs. And Toby said, Nugent gets out and starts pacing up and down the runway, just holding his face and going like, ugh. Oh, no. And Toby's like, all right, I know he doesn't do drugs. He doesn't even really drink. He's like, what? And he goes over to him. He's like, Nugent, what is wrong? He goes, I just want to tell you, I took my pistol apart. It's hidden in different parts of the airplane, but I have 100 rounds of ammunition wrapped around my stomach. And Toby goes, what? He goes, what are you doing with 100 rounds of ammunition? He goes, I have 99 for the Iraqis and one for Uncle Ted. Like, he thinks he's going over there and he's going to save one to blow his own brains out.
Right.
So Toby's like, damn it, Nugent, what the hell's wrong? So they fly over. No one finds any of it. They're over there for like a week and a half. And at the end, after you get done with these USO stuff, they let us blow stuff up. You can fire grenade launchers, 50 cal. You can do, you know, there's whatever you want to do. So it's the last day. Toby said he's down shooting this 50 cal into these dummies. And he's like, G-g-g-g-g-g. And the troops are lined up on the side of the firing range. And they're like, Toby. And he's like, you know, and everyone's, yeah.
Get some.
Yeah. Nugent gets down, goes through. Barrels through all the rounds. He's shooting this dummy. And then Toby said he jumps up and does some crazy, like, police roll thing, flips over, pulls his pistol out, and starts dropping
his
clips.
His personal.
Bam, bam, bam. And the troops realize, holy crap, this guy has his own gun. And he's like, gish, 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 and he's just dropping. Gish, 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 just blowing this dummy apart. And they're like, Nugent! He's going crazy, right? So Toby goes to him and he goes, hey, look, me and Nugent want to come back in like 3 or 4 months. And the lady who runs the USO is like, Toby, you're welcome anytime. Ted Nugent is banned from Iraq.
What?
Ted Nugent is banned from Iraq. What do you mean?
She goes, he can't come back. She goes, do you have any idea how many international laws he's broken walking around with generals and eating with the troops and carrying his own weapon? And I guess Toby told him, he started crying. He's like, I can't come back. Like, it crushed him.
Oh, man.
But I would have freaking, I mean, like, dude, I mean, I get it. Like,
of all the people, but I mean, here's the thing. Of all the people.
Yeah.
Like, really? You're going to let that guy out? I mean, he's one of them.
No, yeah. And they may have changed it. This has been a few years back, but the story itself, I just was like, yeah, I got nothing.
That is
I got
a nothing fantastic to- story.
Dude, Toby, I'm name dropping like crazy. When I did that Larry the Cable Guy roast, he's one of the funniest freaking dudes. Like, the stuff he says. Can I, how far can I go in language?
We don't say the bad
just
words.
Just say bleeping.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sitting in between Toby and Gary Busey on the roast, right? Which, I mean, the whole thing.
Dude, that's funny enough, right? Is the joke over?
You know when your fever breaks and you have a really weird dream and you're sweating and you're sick and you're like, ugh. And it's like Marsha Brady and Warren Sapp and Toby Keith. I mean, it's just bizarre. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around the whole thing. So I'm sitting there, and that bar is real, right? That's behind there. So me and Toby are doing shots and drinking beer and talking and laughing. Now, Gary Busey, one, is deaf from wiping his motorcycle out with no helmet. And two, he's really cooked. Like,
yeah,
you know, you get busted for mushrooms and cocaine when you're 60 years old. You're not all there. He didn't just start when he was 59. Yeah. Like, he's
cooked. He's done.
So he walks over, and he looks down, and he goes, Toby Keith! I'm Gary Busey. And Toby's like, hey, Gary. And he's like, next year's sidelines, Texas-Oklahoma football game, me and you. Toby's like, okay, Gary. And he's like, my whole life's like football. Sometimes they push me out of bounds. Sometimes they tackle me. Sometimes they hit me in the head. And Toby said, get away from me, you bleeping bleep bleep. And Busey looks at me and he goes, what did he say? And I said, he said he's taking you to the football game. And Busey's like, right on.
Oh my God. Yeah, Gary came on the show once before. He was on, I forget what he was pimping.
Probably Apprentice, maybe, something. When he was on.
Yeah, it was after The Apprentice, because by that time, everybody in the world had finally realized that Gary Busey is
insane. There was that moment, like, we didn't know. Like,
if it was an act or what.
So, like, he comes out, you know him from, like, these movies and stuff.
Movies,
but, like, he
more
hadn't done any,
opportunity,
like,
visual, indigo,
Sierra.
Echo, Sierra Mountains. Oh,
that's what he would do. Like, he would take it and start doing what the M stood for, the O stood for.
It's the weirdest thing, man.
Dude, before when he had to go up and roast.
Roast.
Everybody,
Roger.
They walk behind you and they put a red pillow behind your back, right? So they walk behind
him
to let you know, to let the camera people know who's going up next to roast.
Okay.
Whatever. So they put the red thing in. It's like a commercial break thing. They put the red pillow behind him. They walk over and they go, all right, Gary, you're next. And he goes, I don't like this. And I go, no, Gary, you have to go up and roast everybody. He goes, I don't like the way this thing's going. I don't think I'm going to go up there. And they're like, Gary, you have
you're
to.
At the
We're
roast.
In a commercial break. You're here. Like, this whole segment is set. He goes, I don't like it. I just don't like it. And the guy and the producer starts, like, just his brain just starts going. He's like, Gary, you're the most talented person up here. He's like, He's like, you were in Point Break. He's like, I don't know. Gary Busey doesn't like this. And he goes, your buddy freaking Holly. And he goes, all right, I'll do it. Like, it was that quick of, like, because he played Buddy Holly.
Do you think it's an act, though?
It's not an act, dude. At the after party, he had a lighter under his hand doing the Mr. Joshua thing. Ugh. Where he's like, Gary doesn't like it when people get too close to him. Burning his freaking hand. You remember in Lethal Weapon?
Yeah.
When he was doing that at the after party. Like, just burning himself. Going, Gary Busey doesn't like when people get close. He's a freaking lunatic, man. It's like a train wreck. You don't want to look at it, but you can't leave it alone. It's like, right. I just want to go back and see if, you know, what's going on, because it was too
great.
It's so great and so terrible at the same time. It's like the perfect storm.
And then you nailed the whole thing, though, because he yells, he's very loud, and then all of a sudden he goes, and you have no idea what he's saying.
But oddly enough, I hear people say all the time, like, I think Gary Busey's hilarious.
Everybody loves Gary.
Yeah. I mean,
he is hilarious. He's not intentionally hilarious.
I saw when he was doing those commercials for that remote control that you can talk into or whatever, and I was thinking, that's who you're picking to speak into a device?
Hey, if it works for Gary Busey, it'll work for you.
I get that's what they should have said. They should have had him going, Sci-Fi Channel. Right. And like, it pops up, and they're like, hey, if it can recognize his loony voice, it can do yours.
You got an uncle who can't communicate? This is perfect for him. If Gary Busey can figure it out.
Gary Busey likes football. ESPN.
He should have worn a helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, geez. Anything else, guys?
I want to say that this is the 80th podcast that we've done, and this is in the top 10.
How is this the 80th? Because I'm sitting here on cut number 79 in the podcast numerical order.
I think we lost one somewhere, but there's 79.
We've already got a lost episode.
But no, whenever you go to our thing, it only shows the 79 that are there. It's where there's one that's, how would it be gone from our system and from iTunes and from everything else?
What are you
talking
about? There's 79 right now on Audio Boom. No.
Are you sure?
I'm mostly sure. I'm like, no. This is number 80. Just go with it.
Hold on, wait. I'm looking before we shut this down.
Oh, Reno, do you have a podcast? Do you do a podcast?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you know.
Well, you do.
Okay. Wait. Episode 79 was last week.
I only do one out of every 80 other people.
Yeah.
Episode 79 was last week. This is number 79 that we're doing.
No, it's number 80.
If 79 was last week, then this week is 80.
No. What I mean is,
he's trying to say that there's one missing.
There is one missing, and there's something gone wrong here.
You're wrong.
Okay. Well, happy 80th.
Happy 80th podcast.
We're octogenarians? No?
I'm not sure.
Dude, you're not wearing your... because we're traveling today. I thought you would wear your good hat.
Oh, I didn't because it's in my bag, I think. I don't know. I grabbed a hat. I got dressed in the dark. I was just grabbing
that's
hats.
A cool hat, but it's not the coolest hat. The coolest hat Bubba has, it's... by the way, both of you guys have American flag hats on.
That's right, because we're awesome.
The coolest one he has, it's a sand desert...
Coyote brown.
Camo hat cap. And it's got the American flag
also
embroidered into it. And it's kind of the same color, so it kind of blends in, you know. It's not real, doesn't stick out or whatever.
Right.
And then there's, is it Arabic?
Yeah.
Arabic writing all around it.
That's where'd you get that?
A buddy of mine got it from Pakistan.
And I was like, what does it say? Because I don't speak Arabic.
I don't know if he got it in Pakistan, but he brought it back whenever he...
I said, what does your hat say? He goes, oh, it's in Arabic, and it says... Try burning this flag, mother effer.
It's the best hat ever.
That is the best hat ever.
I go to the airport, like we'll be at LAX or something, you know, and there's a lot of people who can read Arabic there.
Sure.
And I get the best looks. I really do. It's a great hat.
And on the back in English, it says infidel.
It's a cool hat.
Oh, man.
Flipping coolest cap ever.
Somebody should sell it.
They do sell it.
They do sell them.
Where?
I don't know, but I need a new one because mine's actually, you know what, once a hat, because I've had this thing for like 6 years, once a hat gets old and toasty and whatnot, the little sewing stuff, the stitching starts going bad. So I need to get a new one. I've seen them like on eBay and a couple other places.
What I like about it is it's kind of low-key. It's kind of...
It's very understated.
Understated, yeah.
Yeah, really, and nobody would know except for the people that really need to know it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because even the Arabic is not it. It's not like bright. You can't like it. You have to go, oh, there's something written on it. Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
It's the best.
I like it.
Thanks for joining us today.
Man, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
You can follow him.
It's good to see you guys again.
At Reno Collier. You can look for the picture of him from 30 years ago.
There's other pictures. Dude, I don't know how to do that stuff. Honestly, I suck at that. But
it's really not that hard. I mean, seriously. Like, you've got to be really Gary Busey-y to not get that. you click the button, you hit your picture.
I'm Buddy Holly.
And it says, do you want to take another picture?
On Twitter you can?
Yeah, on your phone. You do Twitter on your phone?
Yeah.
We're going to take another picture.
We'll take another picture of you and load it up. Is this how you want to look?
Yeah, I don't care. Wait. I've got it. I thought I had a different one on.
After hearing your stories about all the fruit and vegetables and everything, I'm looking at a picture. Your profile picture on your Facebook page is you and a giant pickle.
Oh, it is. You know what? That's a pickle I met on the street. That's a guy. No,
And you almost went, you walked up and said, hey, I was almost you.
No. Yeah. Whoever sent that in is hilarious. The two things had nothing to do with each other. There is a picture. I was doing a show in Maryland, and we're walking down the street, and the tour manager was with us. And when I was walking down, there was a guy who was dressed like a pickle, and it was so hot out. And I was sweating just in shorts and a t-shirt. And I'm like, this poor pickle guy. I'm like, come here, can I get my picture with you? And he's like, yeah. So I got my picture. I go, it almost could have been me. See, that's how life is.
It is. It all comes around.
Gary Busey's right. You were a cucumber. You just need some vinegar and a few years. You're going to become that guy. Yeah.
That's my liver. I'm trying to change the...
Okay, while you work on that, I'm going to get the sponsor here. Real quick, thank you again to everybody who sponsors our podcast and the show and everything. Obviously, summer went by way too quick. Well, with kids back in school and vacations ending, September gets pretty crazy busy. Busier days means going to bed later and trying to cram a good night's sleep into, like, what, 4 or 5 hours? It's crazy. You never really feel what rested when you wake up. Do yourself a favor. Get a Casper. We actually just got some of these for the house. They're awesome. It's one award-winning mattress. Totally engineered for supportive comfort, and it keeps you cool through the night. No matter how many hours of sleep that you get, you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day thanks to the Casper mattress. Consumer Reports, Bloomberg, and the Wall Street Journal are totally going nuts about it. They're raving like crazy. It ships for free. Imagine that. Something mattress-sized shipping for free because they put it all in a really tiny compact box, and you get it home and you
open it up. That's part of the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, you open it up, it's like a transformer. I'm a mattress! And you're like, whoa! It really is cool. You can try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't love it, they're going to pick it up and refund you everything. So get your Casper online. It's awesome, and you'll experience better sleep and brighter days. And again, like we said, try it for 100 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns if you don't like it, which we don't think you will not like it because it's awesome. Go to Casper.com.
Pretty sure that was a double negative, like times four.
Dude, I'm just going with this. Go to Casper.com and use code Bubba. Hey, wow, it's my code this time.
You're never not going to not a one-on-one have this.
What?
Casper would be like, hey, I think you guys were endorsing us, but
we're not
like
sure.
We don't really know.
It sounded like you said, because Bubba said, you're not ever, never, possibly could you want another want this. And we don't know what that means.
Go to Casper.com. Again, Casper.com. Use code Bubba for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, code Bubba. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Reno, thank you, man. Reno Collier. You can follow, follow him online. Just Google Reno Collier and look for the pickle.
And one more time, can I plug a soldier's child?
Yes, please do.
If you guys get a chance and want to get involved, we'd love any help we can get wrapping whatever in the golf tournament's October 12th at Opryland, if anybody wants to come out and play.
Sounds good.
A soldier's child.
Thank you, man.
I was rapping.
And congratulations on our 80th podcast.
Heck yeah.
79th
and a half.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.